This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
So a lack of response indicates that we're not truly together, that we're not experiencing the togetherness that God has for us. And so when we experience this togetherness in the body of Christ, we will mourn with one another when one member suffers.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Appreciating One Another.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we continue this message regarding the significance of the local church, how God has designed our spiritual family to be His witness in the world, and that we would grow and walk with God together in community, that we wouldn't be some sort of lone wolf just out on our own seeking to do God's will, but that we'd see the preciousness of our brothers and sisters in Christ and see the preciousness of working together, each using our gifts in coordination with others' gifts, so that God would be glorified, so that with one voice we'd be able to declare to the world that Jesus Christ is Savior, that He's Lord. And so we open up our Bibles today to remind ourselves of the preciousness of the local church and to ask God to help us strengthen our own local church for His glory, so that we would have a positive impact on our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would help one another be strong in faith and deep in our walk and love for God. May God bless us as we open up His Word together.
The first attitude breaks the togetherness of Jesus' body by saying, hey, you don't need me. You don't need me. You'll do fine without me. The second attitude breaks the togetherness of Jesus' body by saying, and I don't need you. I think I'll do fine. Every saint in the church is vital to every one of us. We can't start amputating members as though we don't need the parts that God has placed in our body. There's not one member that is unnecessary. Our fruitful worship of God depends on others joining us. Our vibrant service to God, our proclamation of the gospel is dependent on each member being connected to one another. We must not look carelessly upon any other member in our local church and simply say, you know, I really don't need you. We're right instead to press into one another and express our profound appreciation for one another, to lean upon one another. Now, yes, there are some members in every body that receives more attention, more recognition than other members of the body. So let's consider our physical body for a moment. If you began to say, you know what, I really want to thank God for the parts of my physical body that God has given me, where would you begin? I say, God, I thank you for my brain. Without your brain, I couldn't think any thoughts. I thank you for my eyes. Without my eyes, I couldn't see. I thank you for my tongue and my voice. Thank you for my ears. I thank you for my hands. Let me ask you a question. How long would you have to pray before you said, Lord, thank you for my meniscus? How long would you have to be? You know, 20 years ago, I didn't even know I had a meniscus until it tore. And I went to the doctor and he took an MRI. He says, well, you have a torn meniscus. I go, what is that? I didn't know I had one. As long as it's functioning properly, I didn't even have any thought at all about it. Once it tore, I realized, man, that's a really important part. And to this day, I thank God for my meniscus in my left leg that's healthy, and even my meniscus in my right leg that's not healthy. It barks at me. It talks to me every day. It talks to me. It says, remember, I'm the meniscus. There are some members of the body of Christ who you don't see, you don't think about, but without their proper functioning, we don't realize how much we lean on them. We don't realize how much we need them. It's right for us to thank God for every member. Members whose contribution is not seen, not visible, are no less important than those members whose contributions are visible. God takes care of all that. He arranges all that. But let's give thanks to God for one another. And here's the application. Let's grow in giving thanks daily for every member of our local church family. make this a priority. Make it a goal. It's part of what it means, I think, to press in to our togetherness in Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he ultimately gave his life for the gospel and its application in Nazi Germany anyway, and he wrote a book called Life Together. I think it's his best work. But let me read you what he said on this subject. If we don't give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we've been placed, even where there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness and small faith and difficulty, if on the contrary we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and riches which are there for us all in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? It's so easy to not give thanks daily for this fellowship and for every member. And if on the contrary, it's so easy to get caught up in, well, this is not right, this is wrong, and this is weak, and this is not the way it should be. And he says, we hinder God, and we have that attitude, rather than an attitude of gratitude, we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and riches which are there for us all in Christ. That's how important this matter of togetherness is. The last part of this section in 1 Corinthians 12 relates to three specific commands that God gives us to build togetherness. The first action mentioned at the beginning of verse 26 is that we're called to mourn together. It says simply, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Again, consider the physical analogy of physical body, and we understand this. You know, have you ever gotten up late at night in the dark and stubbed your toe? When you stub your toe and stub it really hard, does your mouth look down at your toe and said, well, too bad for you. I'm glad I'm not you. No, your mouth kind of shares the pain. It says, ouch! And what about your hand? Does it say, oh, too bad, buddy. Look out next time. No, your hand feels that pain even though it's looking at your toe and it reaches down and begins to massage it. That's the proper functioning. Now, I want you to see that this is not so much a command as it is a reality that flows from our togetherness. So I don't have to command my hand to begin massaging my toe when I stub my toe at night. I don't have to command my mouth to speak words of encouragement, expressions that kind of release a little bit of the pain. I don't have to command it. I just, because the members of my body are one, the others naturally respond. So a lack of response indicates that we're not truly together, that we're not experiencing the togetherness that God has for us. And so when we experience this togetherness in the body of Christ, we will mourn with one another when one member suffers, Many ask, well, what can I do for God that would bring him great glory? I think, well, maybe I'll go overseas onto the mission field. Maybe I'll labor at the downtown mission. Maybe I'll go to the college campus and share the gospel three times a week. And all of these things are wonderful, wonderful responses to the gospel. But you know, sometimes the most important action we can take is to call a member of our church family who is hurting and say, brother, sister, I know you're hurting. And my heart breaks for you. And I'm praying for you. Is there any way that I can come alongside of you to relieve your suffering? That often is the most important action we can take to bring glory to God. Togetherness means that we seek some way to bear one another's burdens. And I know some of the burdens of other members can be overwhelming. We're tempted to back away when we see some of the burdens that brothers and sisters in our own body are caring. We think, boy, the moment I step toward them and toward their suffering and toward their hurt, I don't know what that step will demand of me, and it kind of scares me. God says, trust me, my spirit is his work. Step toward one another in the midst of one another's pains and bear one another's burdens. Bear them through prayer, bear them through your love, bear them through encouragement, bear them through physical relief. Here's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes. I love what he says here on this mode. The Christian, however, must bear the burden of a brother. He must suffer and endure the brother. It is only when he is a burden that another person is really a brother and not merely an object to be manipulated. He says we really don't know what the togetherness of brotherhood really is until we're actually bearing a burden. And it is a burden. It's like, oh, this is hard to carry this load for this person or with this person. But up to that point, it's like, well, what can you do for me? And as long as you can do something for me, I'm happy to be in a relationship. But it's only when that person can do anything and requires so much of us that they actually become a brother, when we see the body of Christ in the glory that God has created us to experience. The burden of men was so heavy for God himself that he had to endure the cross. And God verily bore the burden of men in the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? First action, let's mourn together. Second action that Paul addresses is let's rejoice together. If one member is honored, let's all rejoice together. And you know, sometimes rejoicing together is more difficult than suffering together. Why? Because we often must rejoice for the honor that one person has received that we ourselves have not been given. So this togetherness, it calls us to rejoice in the gift of a new baby when we are without. Calls us to rejoice in the 10th or 20th wedding anniversary of a brother or sister when our own marriage is broken. It calls us to rejoice in the graduation of the daughter of a member when our own child has dropped out. It calls us to rejoice in the physical healing of a member even as our own disease is still progressing. It calls us to rejoice in the job promotion of a member even as we've been let go. Rejoicing is often hard, but it's a reality that the Holy Spirit creates. Again, this is not a command to fake it, put a smile on, say, hey, I'm happy for you. It's a picture of a new possibility, a new reality where we are so together that the joys of others are actually shared and experienced by us. And don't we need that? You know, everybody, I think, at some point walks through such a hard and difficult time that they don't feel very many of their own personal joys. But God says, you know what? When you're part of the body of Christ, you're actually able to experience rejoicing vicariously through your togetherness. And we who are parents understand that, how it works biologically and naturally, that as a parent, sometimes you're weighed down, but then you see your own children receive some blessing. And immediately you say, oh, that's like, it's my gift. It's my blessing. More powerful than the biological unity of family is the spiritual unity of the Spirit and the church. And again, it's not so much, hey, you really ought to rejoice. It's when we're bound together, we have that kind of experience, that kind of relationship, that we actually get to piggyback onto the joys of other people in this body. The third action, let's work together. And that's what verses 27 through 31 are about. Now, you are the body of Christ. You're individually members of it. God has appointed to the church first apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of helping and administrating and various kinds of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. So here again, God teaches us that he gives each one of us a special capacity to bless the body. And each person is given a different capacity. That's talked about more fully, and we might just read it here, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. He says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. There's a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone, everyone inside the church, every member. To each member is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, for the building up of the body of Christ, for the fulfillment of the work of Christ through that body. So the Bible teaches that God places members in his church to serve alongside of each other, and he gives us special capacities that fit together with other people's capacities in order to fulfill the mission of Christ, in order to build up this church as a worshiping family. When members connect together and actively pursue ministry together, the church becomes fruitful in fulfilling God's call, and that's dynamic. It's a win. And when this happens, the local church becomes a bright light in a place of darkness, a community driven with passion for the glory of God. And God would have each one of us rise up and say, Lord, begin here, begin with me, begin with us. Together we will lift up your name high. Together, together, together. I want to close by talking about a dear friend and brother who's now in heaven. He went to heaven a few weeks ago. His name's Art Bloompot. You may know him. You may not know him. Art entered his eternal home at the age of 93. He'd been a member of this church for 68 years. Think about that. It's longer than most of us have been alive. Art was a member, an active, serving member, participant of this particular body, the body of Christ. And I tell you, I miss Art really badly. It wasn't long when he was able to come to church, not long ago, I think about a month and a half ago. Art was a quiet servant of Christ who understood God's calling for him to live his life together with other saints in the body of Christ for the glory of Christ. And he faithfully ministered in our church behind the scenes. Again, it wasn't long ago that he, every Sunday, would be back in the back of the church offices reproducing CDs of the sermon after the first service so that others could have a reproduced copy of the sermon right away. In many ways, throughout his life, he used his energy and gifts that God gave him to serve his Savior. I think it was about a year and a half ago, about 91, he finally gave up serving in Awana, coming here on Wednesday night and working with children. You know, how long do you have to live before it's time for me to retire from ministry? Well, Art says, man, as long as God gives me breath, as long as God gives me strength, I want to serve him. I want to be together. He loved the Lord and he loved this church. Recently, I had a number of conversations with Art that moved me. One of those, we talked about this walk-up communion, and Art didn't like it. In fact, it initially really distressed him, and he came to me to discuss it. He shared his concerns, and we talked together with an open Bible, both through email and then also personally. Through these conversations, Art acted as a brother. He acted as one in relationship, not moving away, but leaning toward me. That's unusual. After a couple months of these conversations, he came up to me, and with a tear in his eye, he said, Pastor, I love you. It caused a tear in my eye, and I just told him, all right, I love you. And he wanted me to know that our disagreement didn't change our relationship. And he said to me, he says, this new communion, it's still not my favorite, but I see that Scripture doesn't forbid it, and I see that many are ministered to by it, and I'm thankful for that. He says, what's most important is that we worship God together. Isn't that awesome? That's a man who understands what together means. Another conversation was so unique that I've told other pastors that I think I may be the last pastor in America who will ever have this kind of conversation with a member of the church. So I was at primetime lunch. Pastor Lyle directs a primetime lunch once a month, and I was there, and I was sitting with Art. And Art was telling me his testimony. He was telling me about his relationship with the church. He said, Pastor, I've been in this church for 67 years. And then he pointed across the table, and he says, and that man is the man who invited me to come here. So there was Mansell Jett. So here I was. I thought to myself, and I've told other pastors, I don't think anybody will ever hear that from a member ever again in America. How many people stay in a church for 67 years and then are able to point to the person who invited them? And I think, well, what caused these two guys to stay in one church for 67 years? Who does that? And I'm going to tell you, friends, Bethany has gone through a lot of different ups and downs in 67 years. In 1950s, it went through a horrible church split. And the church historian, Char Wallen, he's now in heaven, called it Black Sunday because it was so distressing to everybody. In that time, it had times of surging in attendance. At times, it had crumbling in attendance. Well, what would cause a person to stay in a church when that church is experiencing trials and difficulties and struggles, when there's other churches right around them that are not experiencing the saved? What church, what person, what caused the person to do that? It's the belief in the gospel. And what causes a person to stay in a church when it's surging and changing because it's surging? I mean, there's new building and there's new songs and there's new ways of doing things and there's new people, people you don't know anymore, and you feel like you don't even know half the people in your own church family, maybe less than that. What caused you to stay? It's a belief in the gospel. So God's created something special in his church. He's called us to live life together. And that is his glory. It's not that the other churches aren't doing great things. It's that this is where God has set me. And I'm not leaving here unless there's some removal of the gospel, some practical matter of sin that's being allowed and running rampant. For biblical reasons, I'm going to stay where God set me. I'm going to watch God work in an amazing way to bring him glory. In short, Art Bloompot was not a doohickey disciple. He was connected as God designed to be, and he was a beautiful expression of the gospel, and this church has benefited in ways that I don't even know because of him and people like him. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior, Jesus opens his arms to you. He says, you need a Savior. You dare not die in your sins. You need a Savior. And I died on the cross for you, and I rose again so that you would know that I'm able to take your sins away. And I invite you, come to me. If you're weary and heavy laden, if you're burdened, come to me. If you know you have a need, come to me. I'll give you rest for your soul. I'll clean you from the inside out. I'll make you into a new creation. I'll adopt you into God's very family. Come to Jesus Christ if you've never come to him. If you are a believer in Jesus and you've come to faith in him, but you're not a committed member of a church, commit yourself to membership in a local church. We love it if it's this one. If it's not this one, it's some. But commit yourself as a member of Jesus' church. Join together. Finally, if you are a member of this church, but you're not really living life together, you know, it's a membership and position only, ask God to open your heart, especially through this month, to his call to togetherness, and watch him work in ways that will surprise you and delight you.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that God would use this radio ministry to encourage you in your walk with God, that this radio ministry and its teaching would help you grow strong in faith and deepen your love for the Lord Jesus. We pray also that this radio ministry would help you to have even a stronger influence in your church for the glory of God. You know, the church is such a precious instrument designed by God for each one of us to connect to so that we would strengthen her and her ministries, that we would strengthen the faith of our brothers and sisters in our own spiritual family. As a pastor, I'm going to challenge you in two ways. First, I would challenge you this week to call or email or talk with your pastor and simply ask the question, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for God to bless you? And secondly, ask him the question, how can I be part of God's work of strengthening this church family for his glory? What would you suggest I do to help this church grow strong in love? God will bless you.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.